Okay. Brother Murray talked about heaven and why I want to go there. And he gave several reasons, so I have taken that and kind of worked it over the years. And so I'm going to present this lesson again. And it's something that's probably the reason most of us are here anyway, is because we want to go to heaven. And so every now and then we should pause and try and think about heaven and just how grand and glorious it will be. When we can convince ourselves that heaven is better than anything in this life, better than anything this world has to offer, we focus our minds upon it, and we've got to make that determination, I've got to do what I need to do to get there. And so we do need that from time to time. We need to pause and reflect, because usually when we get going in our busy life, we're worried about the job or the kids or the bills or something like that. And the tendency to forget certain things is always there. But if we'll just stop and pause for a moment and think about these things. See, our obedience to God should be because we love Him. You know, some people think, well, I better obey God or I'll end up in hell. Well, that's true, but that's the wrong motivation. Fear of hell is the wrong motivation. The reason we need to obey God is because we love Him. We know that He loved us. He loved us first. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He still loved us then. And He provided the means for our salvation. And so we should respond with that love by an obedient response, because we love Him. And it is the reward that is promised to the faithful that will make it worth living for. And that's something that we need to concentrate on, something we need to focus on, because if we're just thinking of this life, maybe some people are thinking about retirement. Maybe they're thinking about, what am I going to do? I'm going to leave California and move to the mountains and get a nice little place. No. Our focus always needs to be on heaven, because it is something worth living for. See, if we make it to heaven, just try and think of that spectacular moment when we enter in. It will be an emotional high greater than anything ever experienced in this life. Now, sometimes you get so emotional, maybe tears start to flow, maybe the hair on the back of your neck and your arms kind of raises up. It's such an elated feeling. And heaven is greater than that. See, we have that promise. You know, in Philippians 4, about verse 27 or 28, he talks about the fact, whatever you think or imagine in your heart, what God is going to do for you is even greater than that. And heaven is going to be greater than anything we can imagine. As we talk about it, and it excites us to talk about heaven, we talk about it, and we put in our mind what we think it's going to be like. Whatever you can imagine in your mind, it'll be better than that. You know, you might get the assistance of Steven Spielberg, Cecil B. DeMille, and a few others, and get the chorus going and the music, and just rev up to a crescendo, and you think, ah, that's great. It'll be better than that. See, we will not only see God in His true glory, but we'll be able to live in His presence. See, we can't do that right now as humans. You know, God told Moses, no man's seen my face. And Moses insists, and God, well, you can see my back, but you can't see my face. Because no man can see God's face and live. But we'll be able to face Him head on. Of course, when you think about it, everybody will. Everybody will stand in judgment. After this life is over, it's appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so, yes, everyone will stand before God in judgment. But it's going to be different in heaven, because we'll be able to look upon His glory without shrinking. And we'll have the strength to live in His presence forever. Because our bodies are going to be changed. They're changed into immortality. And that's what we're looking for. We're going to put off this mortal and put on the immortal. And we will have that strength to exist with God. God will be providing that warm, glowing, radiant light. When you think about that, we know He's the light of heaven. The Lamb is the light. And the warmth cannot be described in terms of heat, but of the warm, accepting love. Think about that. Just His love will be enough to get us warm all over. And if you want to try and get that in your mind, take a few towels, put them in the dryer for about an hour, then take them out and wrap them all around you. How many people do that? A lot of people do. Yeah. It feels so good. The warmth of God will be better than that. Jesus is gentle like a lamb. That's how He is described. And Jesus will be there to welcome us. Because He laid the pathway for us, right? He is the way to heaven. And he prepared the way. And He prepared the place. And He's there with open arms waiting for us. And of course, the light is very bright. But it will not hurt us. We can gaze into it. Here, when we look up towards the sun, it destroys us because we have the lenses in our eyes, and everybody understands that. You look at the sun, you're going to be blinded. It'll burn. But this very bright light will not burn. There is no need of the sun. We know that. In fact, by then, the sun will not exist. But our eyes are different. I can look into this brightness. And we will be able to see like never before. I'm sure we all long for that enlightenment in our minds where we can perceive things better. We understand God better. We understand our duty to God and our responsibility to try and make it to heaven and help others get to heaven. Every now and then we go along and just something just goes off in our mind. And now I understand. I can see that now. Whereas when we're younger, we have other things on our mind and we really don't focus on these things. But as we progress in maturity, things make a lot more sense than they used to. We will be able to see like never before. And words are inadequate, no matter what we say this evening. Words are inadequate to describe how great and wonderful it will be. Have you ever stood in the presence of the power of nature and felt breathless at the vast power before you? Some people have been fortunate to see a volcano take place. Massive amount of power. Some people have watched the power of nature in storms. Going through a hurricane is kind of unsettling. I can tell you that from experience. Being around a tornado is very unsettling. I can tell you that from experience. But, just the power of nature. I mean, just water by itself. Think about water. 6 inches of water can pick up a car and shove it off the road if it's running. And so there's great power in this. Like standing before and looking over the Grand Canyon. I have, and it's just an awesome sight just to think about that. Now, they're going to tell you it took about 50,000 years, 100,000, a million years to create. But it didn't take that long. It was about 3,000, 4,000 years ago when that Grand Canyon was cut through and opened up. But you look at that, or you might stand at the base of a mountain, look up at it, and you feel so small. Just the wonder of nature. It's just something to boggle the mind. You know, you walk down Niles Canyon. Those hills really aren't that tall compared to some places like the fjords over there in Norway and Ireland. But we look up and you think, wow, that's pretty neat. You ever try and climb those walls? No. You know, you take one step, it ain't going to happen. You know, have you ever experienced the emotional charge of a victory game that your team won? Okay, here it is, your team. You've been cheering for your team all year. They're in the championship game, and the score is tied. And at the end of the fourth quarter, just a few seconds left, they send the field goal kicker out. And, please, is what you do. The play starts. They set the ball down. The kicker kicks it. Everybody holds their breath, waiting to see. Then all of a sudden, the referee does this. Oh, the elation there. You remember how that felt? You remember how long that feeling lasted? Just a few hours. You know, when Peter talks about this elation, he described it as something that will never fade away. That's how great heaven's going to be. That emotional high will be there forever. Yeah, your team could be a champion, but next season, they got to start all over. We know how we felt. We can understand that from a human perspective. We're just trying to get us a taste of heaven. And yet we still feel inadequate to describe it. If you could roll all of your emotional thrills, you know, the thrill of victory, the excitement and thrill of marriage, the thrill of a newborn baby, the thrill of salvation, roll them all into one huge, overpowering thrill. You still cannot imagine actually seeing the creator of the universe, or the thrill of being in the presence of the one who spread out the starry skies, the thunder and quaked upon Mount Sinai, and brought Isaiah breathlessly upon his face, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." You know, in Exodus, it describes the people as they stood at the base of Mount Sinai, as Moses went up to receive the law, and the mountain quaked, and the clouds thundered, and there was lightning present, and the whole nation of Israel feared. It was awesome. So the very thought of heaven, we've got to keep that in our minds. We've got to keep focusing on it. Because if not, we lose focus. And if we lose focus, we have a chance of missing it. Heaven is beautiful. Beautiful beyond comparison. Far more than I am capable of imagining, and to say nothing of describing. See, the main attraction is God Himself. I mean, you just can't beat that. Seeing Him in all His glory and knowing that He is love, and the fact that He loves me, that's something that needs to impact us. It needs to touch our hearts, knowing that God loved us so much that He cares about us. And we keep reading from the Scriptures. He cares about us. But we also know He gave Himself for us. When Jesus came and died on the cross for us, He gave Himself. And just knowing that heaven is a place we call home. We sing about that a lot, don't we? We sing about heaven. Not this world, as we just sang. Thank you, Al, for those songs. And here's the greatest part about all of it. It will be forever. So just what a spectacular moment when we enter into heaven. See, the thought of heaven has inspired the writing of many songs, and we sing those songs. We sing them over and over. Some of them we know by heart. We don't even have to open up our songbooks to sing those songs. And it's very special. We sing about there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. How beautiful heaven must be! There's a wonderful place we call home. Won't it be wonderful there? Many songs. I'm pressing on the upward way. The ultimate goal is heaven. And so many of these songs have embraced the hearts of so many, millions in fact. Now I want to go there because, and here's something we all need to consider. I want to go there because God the Father will be there. He won't be in hell. He tells us that. When we talk about hell, that's definitely one of the least most offensive things about hell is God won't be there. And he won't even be there to pray to. Because there won't be any God in hell. But God will be in heaven. We will finally see the most awesome being that could ever exist. That ever has existed, ever will exist. And then, of course, the Son will be there in his glory, standing there right next to the throne, being the light of heaven that they need, being the way of salvation. It was he who loved me and gave himself up for me. And he is also, at this time, my advocate and my high priest. And he's looking out for my spiritual welfare, just like he's looking out for your spiritual welfare. And how does he do that? He gives us the information we need. And where do we find it? You guessed it, the Bible. It will never fade away. That's the great thing about it. It is so grand and glorious, but yet it'll never fade away. As humans, the things we experience, the things we enjoy, as time goes along, they just kind of fade away. Even sorrow fades away in time. And grief fades away in time. And happiness fades away in time. But to think of a thing that is so great and better than any of that will never fade away? Why would anyone be so foolish as to miss it? We also need to remember what will not be in heaven. And we can read Revelation 21. It gives a description of the city of God and describes it and the great beauty it is, the immaculate wealth that is associated with it, the jewels and the walls and the jasper and the pearls and all of that beauty on the outside. And in the inside, we have the river that runs by the tree of life that is constantly producing its fruit. But you also remember in Revelation 21, there'll be no pain. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no tears. There won't be any reason to cry. There'll be no death. We also need to understand, and hopefully you can say this, that is where my treasure is. You know, when Jesus talked about lay up your treasure in heaven, don't do it on this world where moth and rust destroy. But set your treasure in heaven. And your treasure is where your heart is. I can say I've been working on this for many years. I know that some of you have also. Some of you are just starting out on your journey. But hopefully, if this world survives long enough, you might be able to say one day, yes, I have been working on this for many years. And I hate to think that I would give it all up, even for a moment's pleasure. I would hate to think that I've wasted my time. Sometimes we look back and we realize how much time we actually have wasted. We spent it doing other things than the Lord's business. We haven't been studying like we should, or we haven't been working to help people find heaven. And we think that's a terrible waste. Now's the time to correct that. See, every righteous person who ever lived faithful to God is going to be there. There are just too many to name, even though we know some of those names. Their names are recorded in heaven. Everyone who has learned to love the love of God, they want me to go there. And we just turn that around. Everyone that I know, I want them to go to heaven as well. The best people that ever lived, in a way, are cheering us on towards faithful living until death. So for me, failure is not an option. And I hope it's not for you either. You know, words and word images of the mind cannot possibly describe the greatness of that event when we walk into heaven. It just can't. The only way to get there is to be invited in by God. And He has offered His invitation. And we try and express that invitation every time we gather together. We encourage others to accept that invitation, to begin living the way they need to live in order to get to heaven. And of course, the only way that's going to happen is if we do God's will as recorded in the Bible. And that's why we talk about doing the will of God. Thinking it is not going to work. Feeling it is not going to work. Intending to do it is not going to work. But it's doing God's will. Matthew 7:21. You ought to know that one by now. So the question is, are you heavenward bound? Think about that. We're going to sing our invitation, Brother Al, if you'll come up. We'll give this opportunity if anyone needs to respond to the invitation. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.